Hello, everybody. It's Melissa. I am here today to talk to you about legacy. This has been one of the words that has just been like ringing in my spirit and in my soul for like the past couple of weeks. And so I have more that I want to share with you. Okay. So one of the things is that I was listening to Dr. Jerry Savelle. He recently passed away. And so I was listening to his last message that he talked about, and he talked about going from glory to glory. Now, I've heard that phrase before and that scripture before, and I know that it's talking about going from levels to levels, right? And you go from like greatness to greatness, okay? And you're always increasing. Like things don't get worse, you know? But he was sharing a few things, and he was sharing that it also means going from faith to faith, okay? So that we go from one faith of something to faith for another thing, and our faith continues to grow. Okay, and we have strong faith. But the other thing that he mentioned was that it also means like prosperity. It means wealth. It means riches. It means assets. Okay. He was talking about where the word glory is first used in the Bible, and it's used in Genesis. I think, I can't remember exactly where he said it, but I thought it was with, Jacob and his sons, and Laban, I believe it was. The sons of Laban were like, oh, Jacob has taken all of our father's stuff, all of our father's glory, okay? And that word glory means assets. And then he also references it in Joseph, right? When Joseph is like, you have seen my glory, like, go back and tell, like, our father about this. And he's not talking about, like, smoke and lightning and thunder and, like, things that typically appear with the glory of God shows up. But when they said the word glory, it meant wealth, it meant riches, it meant all of the assets, right? And he mentioned another reference in Psalms that, at the moment, I cannot remember. However, I can go from glory to glory, and so can you. Like, you can go from riches to more riches. And Dr. Fiona Pishka just recently released a book called Permission Granted, and one of the chapters in this book is about, like, giving yourself permission to ask for more than what you need. A lot of times, you know, we'll only ask, be like, oh, I need this, I need that, but we won't ask for extra because it seems greedy or selfish. But, like, heaven has an endless supply of things. It has an endless supply of everything. Anything you could ask for, like, God has for you. Even things beyond your imagination. Like, heaven can create things as well, too. So things that you think up, that you imagine, that you would, you know, abundantly more than you could ask or believe or think. Like, that's how good our God is. So, yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about how, like, for your legacy, we want to live a life that goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from riches to more riches, right? That it is always increasing and always moving forward and always advancing. And that's one of the other things Dr. Jerry Savelle was talking about, is always moving forward, right? He goes, somebody else I was listening to was talking about movement versus progress, right? Because you can run in place, and that's movement. And, you know, things look like stuff is happening, but, you know, things are always moving around, but there's no, like, progress being made. You know, hamsters, they run in the little cages and in the little circles, or maybe that's guinea pigs, or maybe it's both. I'm not sure, but either way, you know, there's movement happening, but there's no progress being made. And the kingdom of God is all about advancing. I mean, that's why Jesus trained his disciples, so that way they could go into all the world and preach the gospel. Like, going into all the world from just their country of Israel and Jerusalem, their city, and even the surrounding countries, like, that was advancing the kingdom of God. Right? They got filled with Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and they started talking to people in other languages so that they could be understood. I mean, God has a plan to advance the kingdom of God, and he's not going to lose. Spoiler alert, right? If you read the book of Revelation, like, God doesn't lose, ever. It's not even close. My mom has read the book Secretariat. I have not personally read it, but I know the story. But she read it, and, you know, Jesus was talking to her about, like, the bloodline and, you know, legacy and Secretariat and just how he operated. So it was, like, for the Triple Crown race that's in, like, Kentucky with the Kentucky Derby. And it was talking about how Secretariat, like, was so far advanced, Like, they stopped measuring how much he won the race. Like, he had outdone every other horse by so far, they couldn't even measure how far it was, right? That is just the type of how far ahead God is of the enemy. You know, a lot of people think that it's just, like, the complete opposite. You know, that God is good and Satan is bad, which is true. But it's not, like, the same level of evil and the same level of good, right? It's not, like, the same equal power and one's just good and one's bad, right? It's not like that at all. In fact, God is so far above the enemy, and it's not even funny. I mean, we ourselves are above the enemy, right? Satan is under our feet. We have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and everything. And back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, right, to dominate and to take dominion and to multiply and fill the earth, right? That's what we are created to do. Like, the enemy is under our feet. So far under our feet, right? His little tiny face is being smushed into my sneakers, okay? So, I want to encourage you about having a legacy and having a legacy that goes from glory to glory, right? We raise our kids right, and so that way they can go further, right? And they can go further than we went, and our grandkids can go further than everybody else has gone. So that way momentum is gained, right? Imagine if it had just stopped at Abraham. Like, there wasn't Isaac and Jacob, right? The generations to continue. It was the same thing with Timothy, right? Eunice and Lois, his mom and his grandma. Like, he was carrying on their legacy of faith. And him growing up that way helped him be able to reach a whole country. And, like, a whole island that he was preaching to. And telling them about the word of God. And telling them about their lives and how what they were doing was wrong. Because they didn't know, right? And so, like, he had that behind him. Like, that was part of his legacy, right? Was having that family behind him. So we want to be able to do and have the same thing, okay? So I'm going to tell you some scriptures that I looked up about legacy, okay? John 14:27 in The Voice says, "My peace is the legacy I leave to you. I don't give gifts like those of this world. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful." So one of the legacies that you can leave and that Jesus gave you is a legacy of peace. And I want to be clear, it's not a legacy of keeping the peace, right? It's not like the world's definition of peace where it's like, oh, just empty your mind, don't think about anything, right? Just like lay down, relax, chill, that kind of thing. That's not like necessarily peace, okay? This kind of peace is the peace of God. The peace that surpasses understanding. This was the peace that confronted the Pharisees and told them to shut up, right? This is the kind of peace that calmed the storm, right? That's the kind of peace that we have. That's the kind of peace that we leave a legacy for and that we have. Also, in The Voice, it says in Romans 5:17, "If one man's sin brought a reign of death," that was Adam's legacy, "how much more will those who receive grace in abundance and the free gift of redeeming justice reign in life by means of one other man, Jesus the Anointed," right? Jesus the Anointed, like, his legacy is a reign of life, of redeeming justice, of grace in abundance, right? That is the kind of reign that Jesus has. Jesus is anointed, right? And we have that same anointing. And that's also part of our legacy. Like, when we get saved and we become part of the family of God, of the family of Jesus Christ, like, we also are part of that legacy, part of the legacy of life, right? I heard this phrase one time that's like, I have too much life to be sick. I have too much life to be poor. I have too much life for sickness and disease, all of those things. Like, there is so much life inside of us that nothing else can stick to it, okay? And so when I even think of, like, certain thoughts or that I might be getting sick or certain, like, mindsets, I'm like, no, I have too much life for any kind of death associated with it to come near me, to even try and touch me. I've heard stories of, like, people who have gone to Africa and they'll hold, like, diseases in their hand, like cells of, you know, like, the bubonic plague or tuberculosis, you know, things that, like, diseases that would have killed lots of people, right? And they will hold it in their hand and they will just watch those cells and that disease shrivel up and die because death has no power against life. Nothing. Like, Jesus conquered death. He was raised from the dead. Like, we have that same living power inside of us, and that's a legacy, right? Pastor Nadine, who's not here with me today, but she was sharing how her family took in a Vietnamese person, like, years ago, back in 1975, I think she said, and she was talking about how he just saw the love of God in their family for the short time that he was there, for like 6 months, and later on, because of that love that he experienced, he saw, like, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and now he's a grandpa and wants to move here to Pennsylvania, and, like, he came from a background where it was, like, Buddhist, right, in Buddhism, and that's what they worship, but, like, because he saw and witnessed the love of God and the redeeming gift of grace, he, like, his heart was completely changed, and now, like, because he's saved, now he taught his kids that, and now his grandkids as well, too, because he's a grandpa. And so that moment, right, where he just saw the love of God operating in a household changed not only his life, but the generations to come, right? And that's a legacy. Showing people the love of God is going to leave a legacy for you. And even if you're single, you can still win souls and you can adopt kids, right? If you have a school that's near you, or like neighborhood kids, like, who is it you're supposed to pray for and spiritually, like, adopt and take care of? Because you as a single person can also leave a legacy, right? It's all about it's your impact, it's your influence, it's the Spirit of God working through you, okay? Okay. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memory of one who lived with integrity brings joy, but the legacy of a wrongdoer will rot away." Right? So the legacy of someone who lived with integrity, that brings joy, right? People are happy, like, of what they've done. And it will be continued on, right? A lot of family companies that have been around for hundreds of years, like, they have a legacy of joy and integrity because that's how they've managed to last so long, right? The legacy of a wrongdoer, so someone who's always doing wrong, like, eventually it just rots away. Like, nobody's going to remember that. Nobody wants to remember what they've done wrong, you know? Okay. Psalm 16:6. The Voice translation, by the way, has a lot of scriptures that mention legacy. So you can always do more research. That was, like, the translation that I found with the most words. Okay? So it says in Psalm 16:6, "My home is surrounded in beauty. You have gifted me with abundance and a rich legacy." That's something that you can declare for your house, right? That my home is surrounded in beauty and you have gifted me with abundance and a rich legacy. So, you don't want a poor legacy. It is a rich legacy, right? It is a legacy of abundance. And that's what your home is surrounded in. And you are also the house of Christ, right? You are God's home. So, like, you are abundant. You are rich. It's not just your family. It's you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had so much money that their king, like, the king of the land, asked them to leave, right? Because they recognized, you know, just how much glory and how much stuff that they had, that their influence, they would have outdone the king, okay? And that was not a good look for the king, okay? He didn't want, you know, your subjects to be richer than he was. Psalm 28:9 says, "Rescue your people and bring prosperity to your legacy. May they know you as a shepherd, carrying them at all times," right? Jesus has the best legacy. He's got the best track record, right? And he is our shepherd, and he carries us at all times. And he has rescued you from death. He has rescued you from hell. He has rescued you from sickness, from disease, from poverty, from depression, from oppression, from anxiety, from anything to do with fear, all forms of it. Jesus Christ has rescued you, right? And he has bringing prosperity to you and to your legacy because you're part of his legacy, right? Okay. Let's see, which scripture do I want to share next? Okay. Two more scriptures. It's Psalm 33:12, which says, "Nation whose true God is the eternal is truly blessed. Fortunate are all whom he chooses to inherit his legacy. And Psalm 61:5 says, "You have heard the promises I made, O God. You have laid upon me the legacy due to those who fear your name." Okay? So legacy comes to those people who true God is the eternal, right? And we are truly blessed. And God is the one who gives you the legacy, right? And it's because we have a, what they call, like, the fear of the Lord, right? It's the holy reverence, awe, respect, and deep, like, gratitude and honor that you have for God and for who he is and for all that he has done. Those are the people who have a legacy, right? There are people in our history books who may be famous for certain acts that they've done and things like that, but the ones who are remembered over the ages, right? And I mean, not just like 100 years, I mean ages. I mean, we still talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that was probably at least 5,000 years ago, right? That is a legacy, okay? That is something to be remembered for all time. And like the woman who washed Jesus's feet in her tears and wiped them with her hair and broke the perfume over his head. Like, the women who came and worshipped him, they also have a legacy. And, like, Jesus's lineage, right? Like, all of that is all about legacy, right? Ruth, Boaz, like, all of these people, Rahab, like, all of these people were part of Jesus's lineage and were part of the legacy of Jesus Christ. And, like, their legacy was carrying on. And, you know, it even mentions, like, David, and it's prophesied over David that from David's line there will be a king forever on the throne, right? That's a legacy. So I encourage you to read the Word of God and to find out, like, ask God, like, what's your legacy? Like, how can I start preparing my legacy right now? Who do I need to talk to, Lord? And I know we've mentioned this before on podcast, but I'll say it again. There are people that you can hook in with to help you, right? Hook into your pastors, to your local church, because they have a part in teaching you the Word of God, which will help you identify legacy, because you want to leave a legacy of truth, right? And so the Word of God is the truth, so you want to be with the truth, okay? You don't want to lie to get into your family line, okay? And influence others. That's why we're constantly renewing our minds, okay? But if you do not think that you are where you need to be in life right now, okay, what you can do is you can say to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, open up my book in heaven." I open up my book, right? The book that he wrote about us. It mentions that in Psalm 139. It was, "I placed my finger on the page where I am supposed to be, and Lord Jesus, catch me up or make things happen in my life so that way I am exactly where I need to be in my book at this moment," right? So that's something that you can speak and declare and ask the Lord Jesus to do for you, and he will. He'll tell you, like, your instructions and what you're supposed to do to get to where you need to be for certain things to happen. And so then the major key is to actually do what he tells you to do. Okay. I've talked long enough because I love this topic and I'm very excited about it. So I thank you all for listening, and go have a brilliant legacy for Christ.